One day when I was driving to our school, the Dominican School of Philosophy and Theology, there was a car and had a bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, "I was born right the first time." Our school's in Berkeley, by the way. Now, being that I was driving, I didn't have a chance to go and talk to this person about what this bumper sticker meant to him. But when I read it, I thought, seemed like it was a rejection of the born-again movement. Now, as Catholics, we're born again also. It's called baptism, right? When we are baptized, we are born again into a relationship with God. Now, if this person is declaring that he doesn't need to be born again, what is he declaring? He's declaring that there is no original sin. There is no fall from grace, and there is no need for a saving God in his life. So I thought, well, today's the baptism of our Lord. What a great day to talk about the topic of baptism. Now, in the past, I addressed the original sin and the fall. So just a quick review. In Genesis 2, everything's great. Relationship with God, self, neighbor is wonderful. Genesis 3, we see the original sin. We see the fall from grace. And we see our relationship with God gets severed. So Christ comes into the world to put this relationship back into right order. And we see this in John 3. In John 3, Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless he is born again of water and the Spirit." And the early church, and up until today, has always understood that to mean baptism. What do we see at today's in the gospel? Jesus is baptized by John with water, and the Holy Spirit appears. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "So whoever is in Christ is a new creation," a new creation. We're no longer just a human being, right? Well, what are we? In Romans 8, it says, "We are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." So for these scriptural readings, we Catholics profess that in baptism, a radical change happens in the human person. It's not just a nice ceremony that welcomes you into a club. We are born again, and we become children of God. So then you might ask yourself, well, then why did Jesus get baptized? Well, the early church has understood Jesus' baptism as the beginning of his public ministry. It's one of the first things he does. He's baptized and he starts his 3 years of public ministry on the earth. There's a revelation there. We see the Trinity revealed to us. We see the Son, we hear the Father, and we see the Spirit. The early church fathers said, in being baptized, Jesus was sanctifying the waters of baptism so that when we get baptized, we are sanctified by those graces. And then, of course, it's a model for all of us, right? Jesus is the perfect person, so this is a wonderful model for us to follow. Now, getting back to us, being baptized is just the beginning of our new life, the beginning of being born again. I was baptized as an infant, so I really don't remember it. In late high school and college, I came to that point of life where most of us do, where I thought I knew everything. So I started to reject this notion of sin, because if I wanted to do something and I knew everything, well, then it must be good, right? Well, we all know what happens after a while. That world will come crashing down upon us. And it forced me to rethink my position. It forced me to rediscover who I truly am. And I realized that I am a child of God. And as a child, I have a father who wants to instruct me, wants to help me to be the person that I am called to be. I wish I could tell you that this was a St. Paul experience where I fell to the ground and, oh my gosh, I changed my life right away. Well, you know, took a little time. Old habits do die hard. There were some debates with God. "Are you really sure, God, that you know what you're doing? Because I really think I'm right." And eventually he's like, "No, I'm God. You're not. Be quiet." Finally, I got it. Finally, I realized, you know what? Like my earthly father, my heavenly father loves me very much. The rules and regulations of God that I fought in my youth, I came to realize had purpose. They were there to keep me safe. They were there to keep me on the right path. They were there to help me to grow in virtue and holiness. And they would be the means of finding my true happiness. Now, this reality starts with acknowledging that there is a God. There is a greater power than me, than you, than all of us. That we are all sinners, the original sin, and we all need a Savior. Now, going back to the bumper sticker I talked about earlier, it kind of brought up a little theological hobby that I like to have, and I'll share it with you, and you can start doing it. It's lots of fun, lots of fun. You'll never use the internet again. So it goes like this. Well, there's certain aspects about us that are inherent, and some of them are faith-based. And those faith-based ones, when we kick them out of our lives, they don't just go away, right? Spirituality, like nature, hates a vacuum. Something has to come in. And we start acting with it, manifests a way to sort of compensate for that. So regarding baptism, when we kick away this notion that says there's something that's wrong with me that I need a God for, and if we kick away this notion that, you know, there's a God who's going to instruct me, then I know everything. But then what happens? We sort of encounter a world where things don't go exactly the way we want them to go. We still see problems in the world. But if I'm not part of the problem, well, then guess who the problem is? You, and you, and you, and you, and you, right? Everybody else seems to become the problem. Now, this is nothing new. This is one of the underpinnings of racism and bigotry and family feuds and you name it, you name it. However, today in our society, it's taking on an interesting twist. We've rejected the original sin, so I see something popping up that I call the original condition, and I have copyrighted it, so you can't steal this idea from me, all right? So you look at the world around us, and some people will say, you know, as a white heterosexual male, I'm a bad guy. Okay, that's fine. Now, these attributes are my original condition. Like Lady Gaga says, I was born this way. I really can't help the fact that I am white, heterosexual, and male. But does that intrinsically make me a bad person? I start thinking about it, and the people who would hold that position don't know the social, economical reality I grew up with. My parents were both immigrants. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad was a blue-collar guy. Not exactly like presidents or popes or bishops. They weren't really, you know, forming our society around us. They were just trying to raise five kids, right? People don't know the struggles my family had or I had growing up in our lives. But yet, I have been prejudged, convicted, and sentenced to a life of penance. So yes, we can look at our world and there are people who are white and heterosexual, may have done horrible things, but so have other people of other colors, right? Other nations, other creeds, other all kinds of stuff because of the original sin, not the original condition. We are all prone to doing things that aren't very nice. So if we try to remove this original sin that points to says you need to work on yourself, what's going to happen? We're going to fabricate the original condition and we start looking at all of our neighbors through very skeptical eyes and start thinking, man, you really need to change what you do in your life. So Ephesians 5 through 6 says, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. So this feast of the baptism of our Lord, we have to remember this, that there is a God. We are his children, yet we are prone, due to the original sin, to do things that aren't that wonderful. Well, what can we control? How can we make the world a better place? Someone came up to me after Mass and said, you know, your homily sounds like Michael Jackson's Man in the Mirror, so I will give the prophet Michael Jackson his due here. Yeah. If we're going to make the world a better place, what is it, look in the mirror and make a change, right? That's where we have to start. We have to stop pointing the finger at everybody else on the planet and point the finger right here, and say, you know what, God, I'm your child, I need your instruction. I'm your child, I need your grace. I'm your child, I need your correction. I'm your child, most importantly, I need your love. When these things are coming into my life from God, and I'm processing them, receiving them, I'm a much nicer person. Just ask the guys I live with, right? When something goes off the kilter there, guess what? The man in the mirror becomes like a real pain in the you know what, right? So this feast day reminds us that we are loved by God and that we have this beautiful calling to live out our Catholic Christian faith. Because if we're going to bring the message of redemption to the world, it's not necessarily going to be through the words we speak, but rather through the lives that we live. They're your neighbors, your coworkers. People should say, there's something different about you. There's something different about me. What is it? We've embraced our faith, and we live out that faith in everything that we do.